It was very difficult for her. She told me about an episode during the holy fasting month of Ramadan in the Islamic tradition, when people don't eat or drink or smoke or during the day, and they eat after sundown. And while her son didn't have to do all those things or didn't choose to do all those things, there was a lot of anxiety attendant around the family in that time. And one night she came home, and her son was having an episode. And for all her skill as a mother, for all her love, she was unable to calm the boy down. And she told me that really caused her to question her faith. And this is not specific to the Islamic tradition. I've heard this story with other people who are parents of children with disabilities. They question their faith. They say, if I was a better Muslim, would this not have happened to me? Or would I have been able to handle it better? And you know, the answer was, of course, no. But at the moment, it caused her to have a crisis of faith. And this was consistent across the faith spectrum of the people that I spoke with, these kinds of questions in time of crisis.
And so what's the resolution?
The resolution is she and her family talked it over. The boy calmed down. The crisis passed. And she said, it's not because I had a spiritual failure. It's not because I was spiritually weak. It's just the way the world is, and I have to accommodate myself to it as best I can.
Marie, what was your own question about your faith as you were going through this? Was there a moment of crisis for yourself?
You know, I think you asked the question why. It's hard not to ask the question why. You know, why me, or why did this happen, you know? But I think for us, we started to turn it around instead of asking why, we said what for. You know, what, God, why did you put this boy in our life? What for what purpose? And we kind of came, through the conclusion that, our little boy was given to us to teach us, he had a lot of purpose. There's power in the powerless, you know, those that the world will consider to be powerless. There's a lot of power in them and strength. And, our little boy who never walked or talked or ate with his mouth taught us more in some areas than our two fully able daughters, taught us about loving and sacrificial giving and those kind of things, But I think for us, ours became not so much the why, but the what for. And then our what for after his passing became that we could go out and kind of help other people that were in our shoes like that.
What are some of the small steps that you would encourage places of worship to begin with to include more people with disabilities?
Well, I think first of all, you have to recognize, looking around the congregation and do you see people with disabilities in there? And if you find one family impacted, start with that one family. You don't have to bring in a whole big program, but begin to look at that family and find out what is their need. How can we better meet the need so that this family can have a good worship experience? And how do we meet the need of this individual? Because there really are no disabled souls, and these folks have a place to belong, whether it's that they can worship or they can contribute to the body as well. So it's beginning like that. You can pull together a group of people to begin to talk about what the church can do. In a very practical way like that. But I think when you look at starting a program or reaching out with ministry, I think you have to begin to educate people in the congregation. I think to some people, they see somebody with a disability and they may just see the outward things that are happening, and they don't understand that there's a story connected to that family. And I think raising awareness and helping to educate and letting them begin to tell their story will begin to educate the people in the congregation that they can begin to know how to reach out and what they can practically do. Step by step. Sometimes it's not taking care of the individual, but it's taking care of the caregiver who takes care of the individual. That could be, a great blessing to that family.
A word of caution in this respect. If you don't see someone in your faith community with a disability, that doesn't mean that there is no one in your faith community with a disability. When you become a welcoming and accessible congregation, you may find that there are children or siblings of people who you didn't know exist, who weren't brought to the congregation because people didn't know if they would be welcome. So you don't know the extent of the situation until you take an affirmative step and step out and say, this congregation is going to be welcoming and affirming to people like that.